football watchers. It is Sunday morning, and we are fresh in the wake of another draw this season. Yes, you heard me right. Another draw. This one coming against our not in-state, but cross-state rivals in Sporting Kansas. In the Capital Clash, the barbecue, whatever you want to call it, all of those puns are all welcome here. And I'm excited. This was a game that I didn't get to catch a ton of live, but I was able to watch back this morning, and I actually was pretty happy with performance. You know, obviously it's another draw, but it's a draw on the road, and it's a draw against an opponent that I think is going to get a little more respect and a little more, you know, up the standings further in the year. So I think, again, my overall assessment on this is I liked what I saw from the guys. I thought they showed a lot of fight last night. As you can see in the title of this show, I have it as Total Resilience as a little callback to Thomas Toland, who had an amazing effort last night that salvaged us the tie. So to get into the show, I just want to crack in and say, obviously, it's just me here today. Justin and I couldn't find a good time to record together, but I know we'll be back, I think, probably in the midweek, because I know we don't have a game we're marching towards, but would like to do a little bit more in-depth on the goals that were scored in this game and spend some time dedicated doing that. So we're going to try to do that at some point this week, so you'll see him then. But starting 11, let's get into it. This was the first or second time that a starting 11 has been repeated across the team from Carnell. Not something that he usually likes to go to, but we were, I think, one off in the starting 11 prediction, and that was that we thought that Nilsson would recover enough in time to be available, and Hebert was instead the one that was pointed to and said, you're on with Parker, which, by the way, again, on the podcast, I said, I'm fine with that. I thought Hebert was pretty great in last week's performance. And I think even this past week, he was also pretty solid as well in this game against Sporting. I don't think it was as good as last week, but with the back line, we'll get into some of the goals that were scored against us, but they didn't see, you know, they stepped up, I think, for the most part last night between those two, Parker Hebert, Toland, and Mark Hanick. I think all had a pretty decent night, especially our fullbacks. Toland and Mark Hanick both had good nights, in my opinion. Moving up to Ostrock and Durkin, not a whole lot you'll hear about from me in the highlights. I think Ostrock was a little bit of a quieter game from him, but I do think Durkin really did a great job controlling the midfield and working his tail off and proving every bit about what we heard when he was initially signed, just given his engine, his work rate, man, as fit as can be. And I think we needed that last night in a match like this. Moving up to Alm, Endy, Celio. Man, I missed Alm, and I'm so glad that he's back and getting a run in the team and the starting 11. You can see what he brings to this team. I think the two things that come to mind the top are his ability to get in behind either on the end of long balls or to carry the ball in behind. Those are great. His service, though, his service into either, you know, the opposite winger in Celio or into Klaus's feet. I mean, it's been immense to have someone that has that final ball in their repertoire, and he's got it, man. Obviously, he had an assist last night as well. He had an assist in the past game, both of them to Klaus. You're loving seeing that Klaus-Alm connection, and I just do think when we have true wingers, they bring out the best in Joel Klaus, and obviously, he got his goal last night. Another great performance from him. He is, I think, officially a man on fire, and I'm not saying that because he's got two goals in two games. But I think he's got now three goals across all competitions and two of them now being open play. And I just feel like the way he's contributing to this team has been noticeably improved. Even when he's not scoring, he's all over the place, fighting for all of his duels. I've even noticed the body language, I feel like, has gotten a little bit better as well. And so you can feel him really kind of catching his own in this team. I didn't talk about Indy, but I think Indy, until otherwise proven, I think will continue to hold down that middle spot in that, you know, up front three behind the striker. And I think he does well. Again, he's another guy that works his tail off, and you've got to give him his credit there because he's everywhere on the pitch. And I do think if I had to give him a knock, I wish that he had just a little bit better confidence in his finishing. We know that he can, but I do think sometimes he gets, I feel like, one great opportunity a game, and at least recently, it feels like it's fizzed out, whether that's missed touch or just a misplaced shot or whatever that is. You want to see your central attacking midfielder or your number 10 pumping those in the back of the net. And I feel like if he has that confidence and if he has that skill, which I really do think he does, we're rolling. We're absolutely rolling. And then you have a guy that's creating right behind Klaus. So the 11 last night was good. You know, you wish you had a little more firepower, I feel like, off the bench, but good to have a guy like AZ there. I think Thorsson's getting a lot more time now for cameos. You're, I think, sadly kind of sorely missing a guy like Sam Adeniran, who you can throw on against some tired legs and just have him burn right through these guys. I think last night he'd have been a great person to bring on later in the game to offer something different going forward, a little more threat in behind for those long balls when we couldn't build up or we were too tired. So I think all in all, good selection. I think Carnell gets his credit because the personnel definitely made a difference last night. Getting into some of the game. So first half for me, first 5 minutes, I had a quick highlight here saying I love that Almond Celio as well as playing as kind of true wingers now in this 4-2-3-1 system. They're also doing a lot to help backtrack as well. And when you're a fullback like Markanić or Toteland, that you're also known to get forward a little bit more as well. This is a good thing to have in your wingers because they can help provide, you know, cover. They can help double team in certain cases and help win the ball back. And when you have guys like that are fully bought in to that way of playing, it makes your life as a fullback a lot easier. So I think that's something important to consider. In the 6th minute, Hebert played a long ball over the top into Celio. The center back totally misplayed it, and Alm couldn't get on the end of his cross. But Klaus claims the clearance and the chance kind of fizzled out. It was good to have an early kind of first look in on goal. And I do think, you know, that had a little bit of foreshadowing because you could see again KC's defense last night. Not the sturdiest. And I think we took advantage of that in certain cases. In the 17th minute, though, they were on the board. And I think both of their goals, and especially the first and second, were super against the run of play. At least I feel like we had the run last night. If you look at our expected points, so if you put this game into, you know, a supercomputer and you churned out what point allotment each team was expected to get given the performance, we were at 1.79 compared to Sporting's 0.94. So I think even the models are telling us, the eye test passes for me, but the models are telling us that we had the better to play last night as well. But they get their goal in the 17th minute, and it's a pretty one, guys. It all starts from a Parker giveaway, which sucks. Tim obviously is known to be a center back that breaks the lines. And when I say that, he's a center back that passes through the midfield up to the forwards and can definitely play, you know, pretty solid forward passes, which not every center back can do. And this one's picked off, unfortunately. And it felt to me, at least, and we'll do the breakdown on goal vision, that this one took a matter of 5 seconds to basically get from that giveaway to the back of our net. But what happened is a 1-2 kind of takes Durkin quickly out of the play. And then Polito and Agata do another 1-2 around, I think it's Hebert. And it's in for a Polito finish as he's played in behind. And I don't think Berkey can do much about it. It's a good far post finish. And man, it sucked because of, I thought how we had started the match wasn't for me what needed to happen for us. But again, that's a team like Sporting. They score some pretty goals, and they're capable in the right moments of stringing together enough quality to score some beautiful, beautiful goals. So I hate to compliment there, but I think that one was a great one. And it kind of reminded me, I'm forgetting the exact goal or the game, but I think there was a similar one in the MLS Cup playoffs last year. But you know what? We respond. And we have a couple more highlights after that goal. In the 24th minute, Markanić played Klaus over the top, who won a corner kick, and the corner kick was cleared. But Markanić ended up back on it and had a shot back on net. Good to at least get some shots on frame and challenge Tim Melia. He is definitely a tough goalkeeper to beat. Indy in the 28th minute had an incredible free kick, kind of cross into Klaus at the top of the six. Klaus does what he's supposed to do as a striker. You know, you're taught when that ball is coming over the top, you head the ball down. And that's to avoid obviously hitting it over the crossbar, but you head the ball down because for a goalie too, they're watching that, you know, get lofted up high, and you're trying to track that. And the first thing that person as a striker does is take that momentum from that, you know, in-swung cross and use it to head it or glance it back onto net. And it's hard. It's a bang, bang play. And Klaus does well, does I think what he's supposed to do, but Tim Melia is equal to it and makes a great save in the 28th minute. I think that was our best opportunity of the game so far. In the 31st minute, we find our breakthrough, which was great because I think this is a good, you know, I would say pretty good team goal with highlights, you know, across the board. Parker won a good header at half. It was laid off for Alm, who one-timed. Oh, my God. No, hold on. I'm getting ahead of myself. Parker won the header in the half, in our half, heads it into the KC third, just a big thumping, powerful header. Durkin just doggedly chases this one down and absolutely bodies his Sporting Kansas City defender off of it. And then he lays it off for Alm, who one times a beautiful, beautiful fizzed in low cross. I think it's meant for Celio, who hadn't continued his run, but you know who is continuing his run? The goal scorer. Joao Klaus is continuing his run and is there for the one-time finish to the near post. It obviously was not meant for him, but the pace and the quality on that ball allowed Klaus to run onto it and continue his run. That's what you want to see from your striker guys. That's a guy that is, you know, in the right places at the right times. Again, like I said, the ball wasn't meant for him, but he's watching what's unfolding and he's like, you know what? This might squirt out to me and I'm going to be on top of it if it does. And he makes the most of it with a great finish. So it's a good response. We're back level at the half hour mark. And otherwise, I think the first half is a lot of neutral kind of field play until you get towards the end, where in the 40th minute, I have a highlight with Markanic, applies great pressure and blocks a clearance. Celio takes it and serves it an early cross for Klaus, who has a glancing header to the far post. Save by Melia. It wasn't the toughest of save by Melia, but a tough header for Klaus, because when you're near post and someone serves in a cross and you're going to just kind of glance it off your head or flick it into the far post, it takes a good bit of quality to do that. And he tucked it right into the far corner, making Melia kind of work for it and parry it wide for, I believe, another corner kick. So another good opportunity comes and you're like, okay, could we get this goal roll into half? And it comes. And the 45+3, we have a giveaway from Sporting to Markanic's feet, who plays Durkin quickly. Durkin lost it into Alm, who makes a long run and forces Sporting Kansas City to clear. Klaus steps in front of his man to win the ball and carries it back and towards, you know, sort of the middle third or the middle attacking third of our attacking third, Sporting's defensive third. He lays it off for Celio, who hits just a cracker of a shot right below the crossbar, and it's got to be the goal of the season for him. I think one of our better goals so far, considering all involved. And for me, though, the important thing is two things. One, the quality of that finish. We talked about our finishing being a little bit off recently, right? And to have a guy like Celio, who I think is a little bit hit or miss sometimes. Sometimes he has the quality and you're looking at yourself like, wow, that's exceptional. Other times you find yourself, I think, a little bit wanting more. But what a finish from him. And I don't think he's in that position unless a guy like Klaus, who laid that ball off for him, Klaus then, off the ball, ran a long overlap around Celio. Whoa. That is a Sunday morning brain for you all, but around Celio. And in doing so, he kind of has to give Davis, now I'm talking about the Sporting Kansas City wingback in this situation, has to kind of give Klaus a little bit of respect and sort of hover between pressuring the ball, which is on Celio's foot, and pressuring Klaus, who could be laid off to once again on the overlap. So he kind of gives just enough space because he's caught between two minds, and Celio makes him pay dearly with taking a quick touch out from underneath him and just firing this one in. Melia, no chance. The pace was great on that shot. And you roll into half 2-1 against your opponents after being down 1-0. So what a response from the guys. I mean, total, as the title says, total resilience. And I love to see it, you know, on enemy territory as well. So a great response. I'm sure Carnell was thrilled heading into halftime with the team's performance and the way they mentally kind of took that first blow from Sporting and responded. So all in all, I think a great first half. We had the better of the play, absolutely, in the first half. If I just look at first half highlights as a whole, we had an XG of 1, basically flat, 1.03, to their 0.58. We had 6 shots on target to their 1. And of course, they make us pay on that 1, which, by the way, was a larger theme because they only had four shots on target and they scored three goals. So not a night where, you know, Berkey was having to work a whole lot. Not much he could have done on those first and third goals. The second one is the one I want to talk about a little bit more. But getting to the second half, Indy, another amazing opportunity after Ostrock and Durkin combine to play Alm, who kind of fakes going into a 50-50 with his man, and the man kind of pulls back, and Alm takes it on the spin and just drives up the right channel, and he gets him behind on the dribble, plays an amazing cross back in for Indy. His defender that's marking him just totally misplays it, and it's set up almost perfectly for Indy, who takes a quick touch, again, out from underneath his feet, and has a shot, but it is blocked so well. Great defending. There was no jumping in there. And that's the opportunities I'm talking about. If you're Indy, you've got to find a way to get this one in the back of the net. You're sitting basically top of the six. It's just you and your defender and the goalkeeper. And you've got to be able to find just that little bit of space to just tuck this ball away, because you're so close. You're not going to need that much pace. Just really just tuck it home. And that makes it sound a lot easier than it actually is, I'm sure, in the moment. But again, those types of moments to find these games, if that's one that Indy can find, the quality to be able to bury in the back of the net, we're up 3-1. And for all intents and purposes, I feel like this game is pretty close to over. Not that anything's ever over against Sporting Kansas City, but it would be great to have a 2-goal lead versus the one, because obviously we'll be equalized on here soon. Shortly after, in the 63rd minute, I think Markanić had a great highlight defensively here, where we were countered after a corner kick. Again, we worry about our fast breaks against and our counters against and our defensive transitions. This is a corner kick where if you're not going to get a good service and the clearance is solid and it falls to one of the Sporting Kansas City defenders that are, you know, more away from their own goal, we're going to get countered on. Obviously, we have a lot of guys in the box. That happens to most teams as well. But they made us pay. That was a good fast break. I mean, Markanić is on his horse. The only person that's back defending is Totland, because he's usually at the top of the 18 or a little bit further behind when we're taking our corner kicks. But Markanić does well to catch up and provides a nice sliding challenge to get that ball cleared out for, I believe, a throw-in. But at the same time, I missed this on the watch, but Tim Parker gets a yellow. I don't know if it was something for off the ball or something in the buildup, but he gets a yellow card. That's what they call a foul, and they have a free kick. We decide to make subs at the time. We bring on AZ and Jose Kojima for Ostrock and Indy, and then Sporting scores their goal off that set piece. I need to find the Tim Parker instance of what happened there. But basically, it's a foul very, very almost close to the half field line. But there's a deep free kick. Obviously, that's allowed. Klaus, in defending it, tries to flick his header, you know, over and out for a corner kick. It's a high, well-paced ball, you know, early cross in from a free kick. And what no one really seemed to have a grip on was where Daniel Shallowy was. So that's Sporting's, I think, left winger. And he's kind of back on the far post, but a little bit isolated out in his own, so far away from the initial onset of the free kick that people are kind of giving him some space, knowing that he's pretty far away. We'll close that gap. I'm going to get back to that because I think we probably could have done a little better there. But anyway, Klaus tries to flick this header out for another corner, but guess who's in behind him? It's Shallowy, who does a great job to catch it in behind, takes a quick chest, brings it down, looks to chip in across because he's now basically on the end line, but super close to our goal. Looks to kind of just toe poke across over Berkey and just see what happens in the back post because chaos is ensuing. And Berkey gets a touch on it with his hands enough to redirect the ball towards the frame and on frame. Kojima's closing to see if he can clear it, but the way that it falls and the footedness of Kojima, he's not able to do anything, and it bounces off the post and goes in. And that is a stab to the heart if you're a City fan, because that first, you know, 20 or so minutes in the second half, we were also controlling. And that goal, again, comes against the run of play. I think it stems from, you know, a tough situation. And I'm going back to this now. I actually do think this was not the Parker situation. This was a foul that Markanić made going to the back of Russell. So, you know, an avoidable free kick, but it's from a way, way far away spot. And I think we could have been better on our man marking. I think Totland could have probably been tighter on Shallowy from the beginning. And had that been happening, he tracked his defender well, I think they would have been finding it very tough to get on the end of that ball and to have Shallowy play that across and challenge Berkey. Again, as a team, we've talked about set piece defending. We talked about how good Kansas City is on the set pieces from an attacking perspective. And we let them have one, guys. We've got to be able to make those mistakes go away and be able to get that out of our game, because all teams are going to have set pieces. And we've got to be able to defend these consistently and make it very hard for teams to get even with us on these. Because again, you're going to have them in the games. There's going to be fouls called. Things happen. But the teams that make you pay on those, it's just like a hit to the gut, man. It's tough because it gives them life now because they respond. I think there's a period in the 70th minute shortly after that where I kind of feel like we were playing a little bit defensively. Because remember, right now it's 2-2. We were playing what I looked to see like a 4-1-4-1. And Klaus looked really isolated up top, even though we're tied. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm okay with the draw, but we're 20 minutes away from this happening and this whistle finally being blown. And we look to kind of have conceded, you know, at least our go for it mentality for right now. But I do think that closely ends when I make a couple call outs here. The 72nd minute, Durkin took a pause on a throw in just to kind of stretch those hammies out. And I just realized to myself, he has run his absolute tail off this entire game. He was everywhere in the minds, in the dreams of every sporting Kansas City player, still is probably there right now as they wake up this morning. And they actually flashed up a stat as I was thinking this of the amount of distance that he had covered in the game. And at that time, the 72nd minute, I believe he had run 6.5 kilometers. And that was 0.5 more kilometers than anyone else out there on the field. I mean, City fans, to have a guy that plays like that for you, you know, wears a shirt, wears the badge, that's what you want, man. That is a guy that works so hard for the team. And I'm sure he's just as fit. You know, most people are probably not just as fit, but a lot of guys are fit like that. To do what he does, to not, you know, come off, play the full game, and to contribute so late on in the game, despite playing that hard for that full 90, you got to give kudos to the man. He does a lot of unsung work. So I loved what I saw from Chris Durkin, wanted to make sure I called him out there. In the 73rd minute, we actually had subbed on, let me see what time that was, but we had brought on Thorsen for Alm in the 73rd minute, and Thorsen got a quick opportunity right off the bat. We had a long ball go in for Joao Klaus, who chested it down for Thorsen, and he had a one-time shot, absolutely skied it. You're going to want to see more from him to make sure that we can make those work for us in the future, especially when Big Sam is not there. So really important for us to see more from Thorsen in terms of his quality. We know he has it. In the 77th minute, Sporting gets their goal, guys. It's a gut punch. It's unfortunate. And it all starts in their own defensive third. And again, another goal that was scored in a matter of seconds. And you're wondering, you look back at yourself, how did this happen? But I can tell you, man. So Fontas, I think, is their center back or left side center back, is in their own third. He's being pressured by Klaus, and he plays, I would describe, as a full, lofted, curled long ball in over the top. Lesson here for anyone newer to or doesn't know some of the ins and outs of tactical formations in soccer. By the way, not an expert here either, but I can tell you this. Our back four, you want to have, for the most part, flat, in line with each other. Everyone's kind of looking down the line constantly during the game to make sure that they're playing evenly. And that's to avoid offside situations like we're about to describe here. So what happened is there's a guy like, again, Eric Tommy, who's on fire for Sporting Kansas City right now, who is playing off of Tim Parker's back shoulder. So he's in an offside position if Tim Parker's just considering his own positioning. I think Tim Parker probably considers that his backline teammates are all looking at his positioning as well, and they're all in line with him. But sometimes you can't do that. You can't constantly be monitoring. Anyway, Eric Tommy's playing off his back shoulder in an offside position, according to Tim Parker. Probably not why he's worried about getting goal side on him. But our fullbacks, Totlan and Markanik, are not even with Parker at the time. That long ball is played at a perfect time. I think Eric Tommy knows what he's doing, playing that line, and he's in behind, Parker can't keep up with him. Hebert closes, still can't catch him, and he's able to finish far post after taking it on the dribble past Berkey. So you're kind of caught sleeping a little bit here. I think this is one that Carnell will look back on this week in the video room with the boys and say, what happened here, guys? We've got to be in line with each other on that back line because this is too easy. This is one pass, one very, very hopeful, optimistic pass that breaks us down entirely defensively and gives them the lead in a game that we worked so hard in so far. We haven't been rewarded as much yet. That's got to be taken out as well, guys. That is not an acceptable piece of defending from this team. Because otherwise, besides some of these goals, I thought we were pretty astute. We really negated a lot of Kansas City's attack. Because think about it. They scored their goal, that first goal on a giveaway from us with some great build-up play, very quick. You know, you kind of got to tip your cap to them besides the giveaway that we caused in the very beginning. Second goal, set piece. Not great set piece defending. Third goal, just one speculative long ball. I mean, otherwise, you're taking a team that's known to build, to possess, to play very pretty soccer, and you're kind of taking that game away from them and making them play around you and making them look for other types of alternative ways to get in behind. This can't be an acceptable way to do that. So gut punch, again, in the 77th minute, they're up 3-2. I will say we responded. There wasn't any big flurry of opportunities. There wasn't any big flurry of opportunities for Kansas City either. But time starts to dwindle down. There's not as much stoppage time. And I want to give my thought on that. I think that's partially because of what we're doing now with these new time substitutions and off-field treatment rules. You know, there's not guys rolling around on the ground anymore for 30 seconds, 45 seconds. And there's not guys that are running from their corner of the field to the bench for their substitution because they can't anymore. And they will get that time added on and they will be sent, you know, off temporarily for the minute or two. So I think I liked that last night. I don't want to see a ton of stoppage time. I'd rather the game be played more closely to the 90 and just have a lot less waste in that time. And so I think that 3 minutes last night pretty much told me that this is going to be called a lot tighter now with these new rules and that you may not see these big ballooned numbers at stoppage time anymore, which is good unless there's, you know, big injuries, big scenarios like that. We did have some threat in the final, you know, minutes of stoppage time. The first one I had here was the 90 plus one with a highlight. There was a dangerous corner kick that we played that was cleared, but it fell to Kojima, who took it down nicely and had a nice rip on goal. It actually ended up kind of skewing left, but a good opportunity nonetheless. And shortly after, in the 90 plus two, we get that moment of magic that, to me, could be one of those moments you look back on in this season and say, this is what this team is made of. Look what they showed you against their rival, away from home, on enemy territory, in a tough night. Things were going their way. Four shots on target against, three goals conceded. You might look at yourself and say, you know, stats, We had the better of the game. They made the most of their opportunities, blah, blah, blah. But this changes that narrative. This, for me, says this team, despite having some good stuff, some good opportunities, couldn't necessarily cement our place ahead. And we conceded a couple of cheap ones to Kansas City. We didn't go away, and we fought back. And that is personified by Tomas Tolan. So in the 90 plus two, there's a goal kick. Hebert steps up, wins his header. Great first win. Thorsson steps up and challenges for the next second ball header. I think it kind of comes off him, comes off a defender, falls nicely for Celio, who plays in quickly for Klaus, who tries to do a nice layoff to AZ, who's making a good run centrally. And what happens is AZ is being marked by Daniel Shallowy. Shallowy is closer to that ball that Klaus lays off, and he nicks it off of AZ, but perfectly into the path of Tolan, who's making a lung-busting sprint up the right channels, kind of seeing what's happening. If we can get possession and spray that ball wide, he'll be right on top of it. But Shallowy does it for us, knocks it right into his path, and he takes it, you know, probably carries it another 20, 30 yards, and you've got Tim Melia coming out, you've got defenders closing in, and he plays a wonderful finish, you know, right between the leg, the outstretched leg and outstretched arm of Tim Melia. This ball goes far post. And ladies and gents, thanks for coming. We're going to steal that point. Not necessarily I would even call a robbery or a stealing, but we deserve that point 100%. But the way in which it all happened, you've got to be, if I was a Sporting fan, I would have been devastated because once again, you blow another lead at home and against your rival. So I think we were right back in this. This to me was a great first of three upcoming matches this year between these two teams. So I loved it. I loved it. My heart and soul of the team, obviously, our partner Soul Juice. You can get 20% off online orders for Soul Juice at souljuice.com using our code BALLWATCHING. Make sure you stay hydrated today. It's the stuff of champions. I had myself one yesterday, had a long wedding weekend to go to. Got to put a little Soul Juice, a little precursor before all the other beverages going down the hatch. So got me some Soul Juice. Did wonderful things, man. Up this morning, just cranking through it. So my heart and soul, the team who cranked through it last night for us, again, my man Klaus. Klaus is coming through. I want to say that I was a guy that urged patience and said play him into form. I think I was, and I think it's paying off right now because he had a goal and an assist last night. He had 10 touches in Sporting's 18, six passes into the final third, and also contributed defensively with six defensive actions. He is leading from the front, and you love to see it from a guy like him. And I'm telling you guys, MLS, keep your heads up out there. You get this man hot. We saw what happened last year in the small sample size before his injury, how good he could be. When you have now, you're filling in around him quality, good delivery players and guys that can also chip in like Celio did with his goal or like Alm did with his amazing cross. Things are looking up for him. I really do feel like his goal tally could continue to tick up and up and up when he gets that right support around him and he keeps in form like he is. So kudos to Klaus. He is the heart and soul of the team for me. Getting into predictions and Grahammers. It was a good night. We both predicted W's. I predicted 2-1. Justin predicted 3-2. And I know that we drew, but we are both in the green for the money. So I bet a parlay of both teams to score and the over 2.5. I mean, that hit in the first half. So that was never a doubt. But Justin's double chance didn't hit until a 90+2. And that was at even money. So it was a really, really good night for us from that perspective. Obviously didn't get the predictions right. But you know what? Again, you'll take that draw. And in the fashion that it all transpired, I think it's totally okay. I do want to give a shout out to our presenting sponsor, Hoffman Brothers, for this year, 2024. Again, guys, I took a walk. I think it was on Friday, and my neighbors are out here using Hoffman Brothers. I mean, it's the neighborhood, you know, most intimate local option I feel like we have here that has this brand that you can trust. I mean, you hear their ads on the radio, you see their trucks and vans all over St. Louis. You know that they have a grip on what they're doing, and they're serving people like you and I who have homes or whose parents have homes, whose friends have homes. You know, obviously, if you don't have a home, that's fine. Tell people about Hoffman Brothers and how great they can be for helping upkeep all of your appliances, all of your heating and cooling needs, anything under the roof. I'm telling you, commercial or even, you know, for us, us normal people, us individuals, us people that have homes that may not have the biggest skill set with the tools or even many tools at all. But I count on Hoffman Brothers, guys. They're my partner. They're in my corner for anything home related. So I encourage you all to give them a call if you ever have doubts, questions, service, anything you need at 314-664-3011 or at Hoffman Bros, HoffmanBros.com. Hoffman Brothers. So where do we go from here, guys? We've got actually a little bit of a break. I mean, and I feel like I'm jazzed up. Like I'm super excited. I feel like we've sort of started to hit our stride in this season, but now we got to wait till May 4th for our next game. And that is against probably the best team that we've played recently in Houston Dynamo. And I'm looking forward to it. Houston, let me look, as it sits today, is sitting in fifth in the Western Conference. We're in eighth on 12 points. Houston is on, like I said, fifth with 13 points. We've played one more game than them, so they do have a chance to climb that leaderboard. Not really worried about the leaderboard at this point, to be totally fair. It's not really something that you need to draw too much attention to unless you're at the very bottom or the very top. But until you get further into the season when the pack kind of starts to separate a little bit, because right now it's just so congested. I mean, because there's 11th place Portland is at 10 points. And then first place Vancouver is on 16 points. And you look at that, that's 6 points with 11 spots between them. So a lot of variation, and not much variation in terms of placement in the table right now, but I promise you things will start to distance themselves. But man, I really liked what I saw from this team last night. And thank you all for dropping some comments in here. I'm seeing a couple from Tyler. Would have won by two or three if we had Sam. Klaus looked gassed after 70-75. I agree, Tyler. I do think this game clamors for a guy like Sam to come on. Without him, and knowing that Thorson isn't necessarily up to speed yet or up to snuff in terms of his quality, his confidence, you really would love to see a guy like Sam and Duran just unleashed on a tired, leggy Kansas City defense, especially as Klaus starts to slow down. But I do think, again, he muscled through it last night. You also mentioned Durkin was great. He bullied the midfield. He did. He was like a one-man wrecking crew last night. And they have some good midfielders. Tyler with a question. I know we play physical, but is there any team in the MLS that rolls around on the ground and whines the ref more? Might have to change the name to Whining KC. I bet there are other teams that do just as much of that that we just don't have to watch. But they do seem to do a lot of that. And I do feel like these rules that we've talked about, the competition initiatives that, you know, debuted last night, I do think will take a toll on that style of play. We got a comment in from here from Aaron. Greetings from Kansas. Voice is shot. Emotions are high. Hotel buffet about to get destroyed. Good morning. Good morning, Aaron. Thank you for the comment. Hopefully those vibes are high. About to crush some Kansas brunch and roll out of there with a point. And I'd say there's the points and there's the mental kind of edge as well. And I think we also have that. So I'm really excited about everyone coming home today. I think you should feel good, be in good spirits, heading back. Brian in here with a comment from Durkin and Tolan were such great offseason additions. I agree. And I'm not ready to write off Duyer yet either. I just want to see him, you know, I'm sure he will get a run of the team, whether that's for fitness or for rotation or, God forbid, injury to Markanic. I'm not ready to write him off yet either, but I think Durkin and Tolan are great additions. The Durkin one is great because I think a lot of pundits sort of didn't write it off, but said, you know, he'll provide good depth in midfield. Little did they know that he was going to have to start almost every game for us because Leuven is, you know, through injury, through personal issues, not able to play. Now you're going to be able to eventually be able to slot him back in. Imagine what Durkin can do when you put a guy like Leuven's quality next to him or just right ahead of him. I think we're going to find even more levels and tiers to his game, but he has been exceptional. I can't imagine this season right now without Chris Durkin. I would go as far as to say that he might be our most important player so far this campaign. Let me know if you have other thoughts or if you think it's someone else, but you know, Berkey hasn't necessarily been called into too much action in a lot of these games. Klaus is really starting to catch fire, but if we were missing Leuven and Blum through this entire stint and we didn't go out and get another central midfielder, I have a feeling we could be looking at some different results right now. So I am very, very happy to have Chris Durkin on the team, and I am salivating at the potential of having Durkin, as you're putting in here, Tyler, Leuven slotting up higher with the reliability of Durkin behind him. I think he'll allow Leuven to play freely, to get forward, to contribute. And I'm even going to take it one step further and say, I don't know, and I don't really necessarily care yet if that's Indy even ahead of those two or if it's Ostrock. I do think we're kind of handcuffing Ostrock at times with that position that he's currently playing. And I like that he's contributing. I like that he's getting minutes. But I do think that his best position is probably a little more advanced up the field. So I want to see that at some point. But again, guys, we're doing this all without, in my opinion, probably our most gifted player. And we're going stealing draws in enemy territory. So I like to hear it. I like what I'm seeing. Hopefully you all do too. And I think it's a good way to kind of head into this break. Get everyone, you know, maybe you can get Leuven fit over this break. Get him 90 minutes fit. Get some matches, at least some simulated matches back into his legs. Get him confidence going and insert him for Houston. I think it could be still too aggressive, maybe too quick for that. But give us some time. Hopefully these injuries with Yarrow and Blum start to kind of clear up. Nilsson gets back to full 90-minute fitness. And we've got basically the better part of a fully fit team once again. And we'll see what the Sam Adeniran situation happens or how that pans out. But guys, this is good. We're collecting points still. We're not losing games. We're doing it on the away side. I want to get out some away W's as well eventually here. But we got to do the business at home, keep it up, getting personnel back. Mentally, I feel like we're starting to fire. We're starting to kind of get more in line with those underlying metrics, which I think we were underperforming to start the season. So I'm liking what I'm seeing. And I will spend some more time talking about this later in the week, but there's been some great thought pieces put out around analytics and, you know, what is different from this year compared to last year with City and many other teams as well. But maybe I'll try to wrap that into that plus something like goal vision and do a little bit more of a, you know, an analysis episode to kind of fill the void between now and our next game on May 4th. But for everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate you all. If you like what you're hearing, make sure to show us some love too. On YouTube, if you're listening, make sure to like the video. Helps it get out to more people just like you and me that want to hear more content like this or learn more about the game, learn more about the team. And make sure to leave a comment too if you disagree with my takes. If you don't like what we're saying, if you have an idea for a segment, let us know in the comments. If you're listening on the podcast domains, we always appreciate you all as well. If it's Apple, it's Spotify, it's Amazon, go leave the equivalent of a comment or a rating, I guess, and make sure that you let your voice be heard. We love the community here. We love these fans. They care a hell of a lot about soccer, just like we do in this club. So it means a lot. Thank you all again for listening. Hopefully everyone enjoys the rest of their Sunday and some of the good weather coming this week. So everyone enjoy. We'll be back, I think, sometime this week with that analysis, like I mentioned. But until then, all for City.